This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with John McPherson, or Mac as you like to be called. How are you, mate?
I'm very good. Nice to see you.
Excellent, excellent. We are here in not so sunny Hawke's Bay, a little bit cloudy this morning, but we're at your business, Advintage.
Yes, Advintage Wines. We're a wine retailer, been doing this game for 25 years now, so started in 99. I guess the thing that makes us a little bit different than some other retailers is that we got into e-commerce very early on, so we've been e-tailing since the year 2000, launched our first website then. So we're a bit of a dinosaur in online wine trading in New Zealand.
Yeah, and you sell all over New Zealand?
Yeah, ship all over New Zealand. It's great for us. We live in a little village called Havelock North, population of 15,000, but we've got national reach. And so, you know, it's a lovely mix of being able to run a nationally scaled business. But, you know, I live 3 minutes from home on a orchard property and we've got the best of both worlds.
Cool. Okay. And you said you got into it. Were you one of the first e-tailers or the first wine e-tailer in New Zealand?
One of two. We sort of started at the same time. So back in those days, any e-commerce was sort of viewed, you know, with a lot of suspicion. I remember people would often say, look, people are never going to put their credit card details into a computer, mate. You're completely wasting your time there. But look what's happened, you know, here we are.
Yeah.
These days, most of our business is online. We have a nice retail store, quite a large retail store by New Zealand standards, but certainly most of the orders go out the back door.
Is everything in store available online? And yeah, everything online is available in store?
Everything.
So in terms of the size, I would put your store as a good sized, majestic size in the UK, if
correct.
You like. And it has that sort of slight majestic feel.
Yeah, we use them as a bit of a model in some ways. Like Majestic, we try and get people to gravitate towards buying a mixed case of wine. They don't have to, but that's the majority of our sales. Obviously online, most people, just to amortize the freight costs, go for, you know, large numbers, 6-12 bottles. But yeah, otherwise we're just like a normal wine store.
The thing that I noticed was your freight costs are incredibly low. What do you charge to ship wine around?
So we charge, it's under $10 a case to get a case around the country.
That's less than £5.
Yeah, like unless you're a rural person, in which case it can go up, you know, another $4 or $5. People in New Zealand actually think that's very expensive. We've just put our freight prices up and had some backlash from that. You know, Kiwis are notoriously tight when it comes to spending money on anything. And so, yeah, but you know, you just have to do it now. You know, costs keep going up. You know, you have to adjust your prices.
I mean, freight in the UK is around what, £14 a case, roughly. If you're using a courier service,
yep.
Which is like $28, so you're,
yep.
You know, it's no nothing. Are you? Is that your cost, or are you subsidising the freight?
We're subsidising it.
You're subsidising.
Yeah,
yeah,
we have to subsidise. You know, it's a competitive market. You know, being the downside of being based in a small provincial area, is that the biggest market in New Zealand is obviously the Auckland market. Mm. All the other guys in my game, they're all based up in Auckland, and they can ship across town for a fraction of the price that we can ship from Hawke's Bay where we live.
Yep.
So we have to just modify our pricing to make sure we're competitive.
But I bet your costs, particularly in terms of your site's costs, are significantly lower than Auckland.
Yeah, lower. And, you know, we get to live here, you know. Hawke's Bay is a wine producing area. That's how I got into the wine industry. Fell in love with it when I was much younger. And it's nice, you know, it's nice selling wine from a wine producing area rather than selling wine from a city.
What's your background? How did you fall into this trap?
I started a mobile data company a long, long time ago, and when I was doing the feasibility for that, I worked a vintage at a winery called Vidal under Kate Radburn, who's one of New Zealand's preeminent women winemakers, a bit of a legend. She was my boss. I fell in love with the industry and sort of had, even at that stage, a thought if I can make a few quid out of the data game, I might get into the wine industry one day. Here I am.
Cool. Okay, let's talk a wee bit about what the New Zealand consumer is drinking, because one of the things that attracted to us was not only your long history in terms of e-tailing and your reach throughout New Zealand. It was also the range that you've got. We came in a few days ago and bought some wine off you guys, and we had a look around your range, and you've got a good range. You know, you obviously New Zealand's very strong in New Zealand, but...
Yeah, we've got about 1,400, 1,500 SKUs at the moment. Advantage was the fundamental principle of Advantage was trying to demystify the any sort of snobbery or, you know, the mystification of wine. And so we've always pitched ourselves as being primarily a reseller who sells good quality products which are affordable to the person who is an interested but not avid wine person. And so if you come here and if you've got $15 to $20 to spend, 7 to 10 quid, if you're in that sort of shopping range, you can come into this store and there'll be a huge range of products which we've curated to make sure that they're really banging value. That's the thing we take the most pride out of. I always say it's for a retailer like us, we sweat bullets over those commercially priced products because we might buy many hundreds of cases in that price range to achieve a tactical price point. And so we need to know that we're buying well and our customers will see the value and come back for more. If I'm selling $80 bottles of Hawke's Bay Syrah, I'm only going to buy 12 or 24. There's no commercial risk in it, and they'll just dribble out, or someone might come along and buy a six pack. If you're putting your balls on the line and making commercial calls for the sort of products that are the mainstay of our business, you have to get it right.
Let's talk about what Kiwis are drinking then. So you've got a range of wines from overseas. How much of your business is sort of imports, i.e. not New Zealand wines, and how much is in New Zealand?
It's about 40% import and 60 New Zealand wines.
Yeah.
And like most fine wine stores, or you know, if you would call us a fine wine store, independent wine stores in New Zealand, I would say unless you're based in the deep south, which is Pinot Noir country, almost certainly your biggest selling varietal will be Chardonnay.
Not Sauvignon Blanc?
Sauvignon Blanc's a funny thing. We can probably talk into that in some later detail. But for us as a wine store, Chardonnay is our biggest selling varietal, 2-for-1. And then it varies depending on the time of year what comes number two, which would be Sauvignon sometimes, sometimes Rosé, sometimes Sparkling.
Oh, really? That is interesting. I was expecting a lot of Chardonnay in Gisborne when we were up there, but I was surprised that in Hawke's Bay, Chardonnay is a big grape variety here as well.
It's a very, very big grape variety.
Yeah.
You know, like most people in the wine trade, we love Chardonnay. And yeah, I mean, it's an interesting thing, Sauvignon Blanc. You know, I've worked in the wine trade now for 25 years, and I always like saying, I've been to so many functions, junkets, meetings, symposiums, you name it. In 25 years, no one has ever offered me a glass of Sauvignon Blanc in a social context. In New Zealand, I've never been offered a glass of Sauvignon Blanc by anyone in the wine trade or a winemaker unless it was in a tasting scenario. And so Sauvignon Blanc is the dominant varietal in grocery in New Zealand. It attracts a different kind of buyer than would be in the UK, but in most fine wine stores, not so much. It's sort of viewed with a bit of derision, really, because it's ubiquitous. It's everywhere. It's easy to grow. They're all pretty good. In the commercial range, you can chuck a blanket over 95% of them, so you're buying on label and price. And you get a few more quality labels, and there is maybe a discernible difference in some situations. But you're getting to the pretty esoteric level. If you're shopping well in the New Zealand market, you can buy world-class examples of Sauvignon Blanc from a business like ours for $12, $13. And the difference in quality from the elite labels or the perceived elite labels, you would have to be a very astute judge to be picking those characters, to picking the difference.
Okay, now that's really, really interesting. I always thought Chardonnay was New Zealand's premier grape variety. A lot of people talk about Chardonnay when they're talking about New Zealand as the most exciting wines coming out of New Zealand. I'm just surprised that for you guys, you're selling so much of it.
Yeah, we sell so much. Californian Chardonnay has become quite a big thing in our local market. You know, there's a perception, well, I always like to say that a lot of New Zealanders equate generosity with quality, and the bigger, fuller flavoured wine styles become very, very popular. It's the reason why Shiraz and Australian wines are still very, very popular in the New Zealand market.
But let's zoom in on Chardonnay then. You said California. Can you give us a rough idea of what percentages are coming from which parts of the world?
In this business, I would say that 90% of the Chardonnay we sell is New Zealand based. We sell it from all over the country. Our biggest regions would be Hawke's Bay, followed by Marlborough. Customers really like the barrel fermented style. Again, I guess the question we would be asked most in the store is, what's your biggest, creamiest, butteriest Chardonnay?
Really?
So that whole ABC thing, which has been going around, you know, which came in 20 years ago, it never really worked here. Chardonnay is, for the styles we sell, this is not necessarily what I would choose to drink at home, but for the styles that we sell, customers are looking for, this is in a perfect world, 100% barrel ferment. They're looking for full malo, and they're looking for as much pallet weight as they can get. It really is a case of the bigger the better.
So a lot of lees work as well?
A lot of lees work. Anything to just, you know, roll up that pallet weight, the customers absolutely love it. They're the easiest wines for us to sell.
That's funny, isn't it? It's always the wine that's, well, not so much the hardest to, but in New Zealand you're dominated by Sauvignon Blanc, so they're looking for something completely different to Sauvignon Blanc almost.
Certainly we've seen over time that there's a lovely fresher style of Chardonnay coming through, much more vibrant, higher acidity, less obvious oak, less malo. That's a style I particularly like, and most of the quality producers certainly have those kind of wines in their portfolio now. But the ones who are doing well at the bottom tier, they're really just looking to put pallet weight in. It's like I said, for the average consumer, when it comes to Chardonnay, red wines, even Pinot Noir, people associate generosity of pallet weight with quality.
And does that, you mentioned California, I presume Australia as well, because they can produce these big gutsy Aussie Chardonnays.
We sell very few, and they just haven't struck a chord in the New Zealand market.
Really?
Yeah, I completely agree with you. There's some great Chardonnays coming out of Australia, but again, a little bit difficult for us to sell. The market hasn't gone to them.
Where else are you getting? What sort of French Chardonnays, anything like that?
Yeah, like business like ours, we've always tried to avoid doing the high-end fine wine stuff because there's established businesses that do that, and we're very, very happy for them to play in their world. We have a very, very strong market for Southern French Chardonnay in New Zealand. It's a very, very strong market, not as big as California, and it's growing. I personally think that there's some tremendous wines coming out of like Languedoc, Roussillon now. They're great value, they're fresh and vibrant, they're not too big and overblown, and they're affordable. Kiwis love the idea of putting French wine on their table. They think it's quite sophisticated, which I think's, you know, very endearing. But yeah, Chardonnay in retail, I think with one or two of the independent wine stores who are in the deep south, I would say Chardonnay's king of the castle for the independents.
What about UK? Do you see any UK wines here?
We have seen a couple of sparklings come in, which we have supported. I think the UK's got a big job trying to get, you know, the PR out to make people look to the UK as a sparkling wine producer. The wines are obviously very good, and I imagine they're doing very well domestically. I hope they are. Mm. But here in New Zealand, again, France is seen to be the king of sparkling wine. We sell a lot of French sparkling across all price points here, obviously champagnes and Cremants, very well thought of in the New Zealand market.
What about Prosecco?
Prosecco's huge and getting bigger. Ironically for us as a store, it's never really been a style that we've managed to get the sales that we should be getting out of Prosecco. I know that in the Auckland market, it's very strong. I think because of the delicate nature of Prosecco, I think it comes back to that statement I made before that Kiwis like the fuller flavoured styles. So I think that's arguably what has been slowing Prosecco sales down in New Zealand.
Okay, what about Cava? Because that's a more traditional method and they can be bigger. Cava, and Cava can be very price competitive.
Very, very price competitive. Again, for us as a retailer, never been particularly strong. I don't know why. I think it's because as I said earlier, if given the chance of buying a Spanish product or a French product for a sparkling, the consumer is going to go for French.
Okay, interesting, interesting. Let's talk about sparklings in New Zealand.
There
is traditional method sparkling wines.
Yes.
Lindau used to have a big operation up here, making sort of, I think it was carbonated, or was it?
Sparkling. It was method.
Method. Oh, it was method traditional.
Yeah.
Okay, and after Gabriel, it all went pear-shaped, I understand.
Yeah, after the cyclone, things have all changed around here. Sparkling wine, it's difficult to produce price-competitive sparkling wines in the New Zealand market. We're going up against the large brands, the large international brands that are imported. There's a renewed resurgence in making high-quality method traditional, which is great. Here in Hawke's Bay, where we live, there's a new facility has been built in the last couple of years, and there's some absolutely wonderful methods coming out now. If anyone has the time or can ever get their hands on a bottle of Valora, which is an absolutely tremendous example of top quality New Zealand method, really look it out. It's wonderful.
You sell it?
We sell it, yeah.
Oh, I think that's a sales pitch, mate.
There you go. Try the rosé. It's 10 out of 10.
Okay. We've been looking at Albarino as we've been going around.
Yeah.
And just we came in and actually bought a number of different Albarinos to try. We had a sparkling Albarino last night, which...
Quirky.
No, yeah, I thought it was all right. There's two. You've got two in store.
Yeah.
I think it was Pippi. Yeah. And it tasted more like carbonation as opposed to traditional method, is it?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay. But I thought that was quite a good competitor for a Prosecco style. How you found Albarino, not just in sparkling, but in general, and I thought that carbonated style was quite an interesting style.
Yeah, so Albarino is really picking up in the New Zealand market. Everyone knows about Sauvignon Blanc, of course, and everyone's exposed to Sauvignon, so that higher acidity, crisp model is really, really, it's obviously going to be attractive in the New Zealand market. And so there's one or two commercial players now who are making Albarinos, which are very, very tasty. They're quite different than the European model. They're fuller flavoured, the palate is rounder. You have more overt fruit character rather than just that racy acidity. Mm. So stylistically, the majority of them are quite different. And we're having great success with them. So for us, it's still a minor player, but if I was backing a horse to gain success, get more traction in the New Zealand market, in businesses like Advantage, over the next 4 or 5 years, I think Albarino would be my pick. Yeah, it goes so well with seafood, of course, where there's a lot of seafood enjoyed here in New Zealand.
And yeah, heaps.
Yeah.
We've been dining out on it.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Exactly. You said the Kiwis like the fuller wine, so is there still quite a lot of Australian wines in New Zealand?
Yeah, there is. I mean, it depends on where you are within the country. We often joke in the South Island that the South Island thinks there's Sauvignon Blanc, Chardonnay, Pinot Noir and Shiraz. And that's it. It's a bit of a crack-up, really. And those generalisations still hold true, like in the grocery channel, which is a major part of New Zealand's wine sales. It's really hard to get the numbers. I've heard everything from high 60s to high 80% of wines sold in New Zealand are sold through the two grocery channels. So I think that Sauvignon, Chardonnay, Shiraz is still huge. Yeah, Shiraz is definitely still a big player. Australian wines are very, very popular. They're fulsome, they're well-priced. You can get a good example for well under $20. There's that shift, which I'm sure everyone knows about, that so many of the Australian wines are having higher residual sugar levels than they used to have. And so the wines just seem to be getting sweeter, or the vinification is making them certainly taste with more fruit sweetness, and to me that's a real shame that they're chasing a broader audience and that audience likes that sugar.
That's in Syrah as well, or Shiraz as well?
That's in Shiraz specifically, yeah.
I always think when you start getting a little bit of sweetness on there, it's a cheap trick because...
It's a cheap trick, yeah.
It gives your body, it gives you more fruit forwardness and it hides any problems.
Yeah, I mean, I find it, reprehensible personally, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
And it's a shame, like you mentioned, Syrah. You'd say Syrah, we'd say Syrah.
Yep.
Syrah was here in New Zealand. I mean, goodness gracious, 3 or 4 years ago, I just couldn't keep it on the shelf. It was the hottest thing. And everybody wanted Syrah, and people were planting Syrah. We thought that was going to be the saviour of, you know, the Hawke's Bay red wine industry. And now it's just completely fallen out of fashion for no reason. We just can't put our finger on it. And so everyone's Syrah sales are tanking now. That's been over like a period of less than 5 years.
That's interesting. There's been a worldwide shift, especially in the last 3 or 4 years, of moving towards more white wines and moving away from red wines.
Yeah.
So is that a trend that you're seeing in New Zealand as well?
Yeah, I think so. But what was surprising was you would have thought that something like Syrah, which can be a softer, more delicate style than certainly any of the Cabernet-based reds or even some of the, you know, punchier Merlots, you would have thought that that would have been a great segue for people who are looking for something which is generous and but not too big, you know. I do think that part of the problem was it's a bit like Riesling. When you took a bottle of Syrah off the shelf, you might not really have any idea of what the palate weight or the structure of that wine would be. Like in the same way you buy a Riesling, if you don't know what you're doing, you don't know if it's going to be dry or sweet, right? You can get it the shock of your life, thinking you get a nice, juicy, friendly bottle of medium dry Riesling, and next thing you've got some bone dry, you know, high acid monster, and you just don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that the Syrahs, initially when Hawke's Bay started playing around with it, they were again trying to over-extract them, put too much concentration in them. And to my mind, the prettiest wines were the soft, fluid, flowing, middleweight wines, almost like a Syrah as a more fluid version of Pinot Noir. And I thought that was the model we should have landed on as an industry. But I think people got confused. You know, you could buy one from one producer, it tasted like X. You could buy one from the next guy just down the road and it tasted like Y.
Yeah. Is there any other trends that you're seeing in New Zealand?
Rosé, of course, yeah, taking off like a robber's dog.
Yeah, is it the Provence style where it's all very
delicate? It's the Provence style. People are just coming in and buying it on colour now. We've had tremendous examples of what I would call absolutely delicious strawberry and cream. Rosés, that's how we describe them here, a bit of a darker colour, and we've been trying to talk customers into giving them a crack, but they won't touch it simply because they're looking for that, you know, white onion skin colour. It's almost like it's a quality cue. And so certainly most of the New Zealand rosé producers, because it wasn't that long ago, there were very few New Zealand rosé producers, but now everyone's jumped on the bandwagon. Mm-hmm. And there are some extraordinarily good examples coming out of New Zealand now. Last year we went back a little bit from 2024, but I think in 2026 my gut call is we'll be back up percentage-wise.
In terms of the amount of rosé produced?
In terms of the... I can only just talk about what we're selling here in the store.
I think we'll wrap it up there, Mac. Thank you very much.
No problem. Nice chatting with you.